Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Adkins.
What?
All right, so we have a question about multi-site and how campuses are closing, and there's a lot. So the question is actually quite long, and I want to take some time and read the whole thing because it perfectly describes, I guess the what is there like 8,000 plus multi-site churches. So the dilemma that a lot of them are going through. Right. So I know if you're church planting, you're like, what does this have to do with anything? Well, listen in, at least go to half of the episode. Yeah, because it does talk about locations and all that stuff. So here is the question. Hey, Daniel, it's been a while. I'm still listening. Hope you're doing amazing in Canada. I tune in online and enjoy it immensely. Here's my question. There seems to be a common question among my multi-site friends. We have two locations and they're both meeting in schools. And because of COVID, we have shrunk back to one location and we're doing small outside services. Likewise, even some of the very large multi-site churches are closing locations and collapsing them back to their sending campus. Do you think that this is permanent, given renting from schools will likely change? And if so, what can we do to build momentum when conventional growth metrics are free falling? FYI, we do online and get pretty solid engagement and reach. It's been great to reach this new audience, but how do we make sure that we don't leave our established people behind? Thanks for the steady hand in difficult times.
First of all, I'm offended that the question was just to you and not to me or Ed as well. We weren't even mentioned. But that
okay. Well, it was the guy DM'd me, so I was like,
"Oh, fair enough."
Yeah.
Okay, so I would say part of the issue is I've talked to several churches that already the schools are telling them you can't meet here, like. That's one of the things that's happened is suddenly the school says, no, you're done. Even though we may be coming back in the fall or we are already back, you're still done because we're not allowed to have any extracurricular activities going on in the school. So In some cases, that decision is actually being made for the church. It's not that, oh, we feel it's better stewardship to, you know, shrink down to take these two and make it one. It's the school is making that decision for them. And I'm sure that's happened to a lot of people. The second part of that question where he's like, you know, we're concerned that we don't want to leave them behind. And I would say the real question is, have they left you behind? Because a lot of churches, what's happening now is Even someone may be attending your small group, but they're attending a different church online in the morning. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be fascinating to see, you know, what comes about after this, because if you just treated this as, you know, that little blizzard that we talked about before, and you didn't get really serious about this being a mini ice age, man, it may be too late for you at this point, at least from a lot of your existing people, that if they hadn't been served well, they may go somewhere else.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Yeah, I even reflect on our situation and the reason. So we currently opened two of our campuses, not the third one, because the third one is we're doing some renovations in there. So our Spanish campus is meeting in one of our other buildings. But the reason we're able to open is because we own all three buildings. Now, I even just compare that to a year and a half ago. And when one of our campuses was meeting in a movie theater, Would we be able to reopen? No, because the movie theater is not even open. And I even think of some other church plants in our city here who still are not able to gather because their rented location isn't allowing them to gather. So even, and even the fact that this fall we were supposed to launch a campus downtown, but we held off on that because of COVID. And now, yeah, I was like, if we had gone ahead, would we have even been able to meet in the location that we were about to sign a lease for? So this is a real, real situation, especially if you have rental sites that you were relying on for as a part of your multi-site strategy.
You know, regardless, I do think that this is fundamentally, but it is going to change church. It is going to change multi-site. I do think, and how we do those. One of the things that is already happening is you already saw a trend of a lot of the early adopters of multi-site. Not that they thought it was wrong, but they had transitions of major leadership, or there was some catalyst to cause them to rethink how they do multi-site, and they started to contract already. Now, it's not to say that you still don't have new churches launching new sites every day. That's totally still happening. But, you know, a church like the Village Church, where you have Matt Chandler and Josh Patterson as the executive pastor. Josh was on 5LQ not too long ago, and, you know, we talked with both him and Kevin Peck, who is at Austin Stone. They're continuing the campus model while Village has chosen to, you know, begin shrinking their campuses and launching them out. So, you know, what's fascinating is when we go back and we listen to some of our first episodes, and maybe our 100 episode, we were talking about the future of church planting, the future of multi-site. And I was like, well, I think they're probably going to be the same, because multi-site is going to end up planting a lot of churches. And I still think that that's going to happen through COVID as well. I still think you're going to see that happen. And there's going to be a lot of church planters and definitely house churches and smaller churches that come out of this. It's going to be, I mean, it's exciting. It's devastating for some, but
yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah, no, completely. And that's where, honestly, I think in the short term, there definitely is that sense of how, depending on your city and county and jurisdiction, state, province, in terms of what renting looks like and the number of COVID cases and all of that, I think a lot of that is going to depend geographically and locally as to where you are at and whether or not you can rent or find locations to rent. I mean, the fact is, with the economy being the way that it is and how COVID has affected it, sooner rather than later, there are going to be businesses, as long as they can safely do it, they're going to want the rental income. So I think long term, we are going to, I mean, this isn't necessarily going to affect things long term, because I do believe that multi-site is still a valid and valuable strategy alongside church planting. So, for example, we are posting an executive pastor of campuses and leadership position. We held off on hiring because of COVID, but now that we're kind of into this, okay, we have a sense, even if there's a second wave, okay, we have a good handle on where our finances are going and the direction, and with all that's going on in our church, it's like, no, you know what? We're going to post this because next year when we fill it, and that's kind of our time frame. Next year when we fill it, I mean, our heart is still to reach our city. My church's history, 99 years, over 100 years next year, and we've planted over 60 churches in the city, and our heart is toward multiplication, and multi-site is a huge method and a great strategy to do that alongside church planting. So I'm saying all that because I don't think it's doom and gloom and multi-site is not happening anymore, because the issues around rental, whether that's for a campus or a church plant, it's the same thing. I think what our city needs is healthy, right? Healthy, thriving churches. And regardless of where they meet or what model of church they are doing it, we need healthy, thriving, growing, and multiplying churches that are reaching the lost.
I just, you know, we don't know what is going to happen 2 years from now, because there's going to be things that, you know, we're predicting now that aren't going to come to pass, and things are going to slide right back in to maybe close to where they were. There's going to be other things that we haven't considered that were way bigger issues. And the reality is we don't know yet. And our job as leaders in this whole process is really, we're in the middle of change management right now, and navigating this and leading our people through it as best as possible, and to come out, you know, the other side a stronger church is all we can do. And it may be that we're scattered a bit more, but that usually results in fruit.
Yeah. And going to this gentleman's question, the last part of it is, how do we make sure we don't leave our established people behind? Well, it's by connecting with them. It's by making sure that they are in community and in groups. And if they're not in a group or haven't showed up in a group in a while, so if they haven't showed up in a group for a while, it's the groups, you got to encourage your group leaders to contact them and to connect with them. If people aren't connected in a group, well, perhaps you and a bunch of lay leaders can come together, pick up the phone and call all of them and pray for them. And not to say, hey, where were you? Or are you watching online? But really more a matter of, hey, I see you, I love you, how can I pray for you? And to have those types of conversations instead. So instead of worrying about, man, you know, so that's the thing. Yes, I think there's engagement, there's reach, all that stuff for online, but you can't forsake or neglect the in-person or the real life phone call or shoulder tap or socially distanced shoulder tap or whatever that is. But you do need to continue to do that rather than just being like, you know what, I can pastor completely on my computer. Well, possibly, but you need to be picking up your phone and sending personal messages as well. All right. So I hope that helps and gives you some things to think about. If you have a follow-up question on that, just send that in at newchurches.com. If you're on your computer, hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail. Or if you're on your phone, just go to speakpipe.com/newchurches. And you can send that question in there. All right. We'll catch you next time.